Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, October 15th, 2008. 1-2-132. Stanam tirtam griham chasya tatra tirte gatiryata. Going to the places of the Lord. This is the category. Some Purana. Samsara marakantara nistara karana shamo shlagyo Taveva Charano Yoharis Tirtagamina. The 2 feet which go to the tirth of the Lord are praiseworthy, since they enable one to cross over the dangerous desert of samsara. I'm simply saying that if you walk to a place of pilgrimage, then you'll get free from samsara. It's interesting in the comment on the same point that in Skanda Puran it talks about the glories of Purushottam Mahatmyam. So the glories of Purushottam Kshetra also apply to any holy dhamma of the Lord. So Vrindavan glories, whatever is told in glorification of Purushottam Kshetra, for the most part must also apply to Vrindavan and Mayapur, Navadvip, because they're all three transcendental abodes of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So there it says that if one is simply wandering around, walking to the store, walking to buy sabji, that walking, one gets the same benefit as if he's walking on prikrama, doing prikrama of Jagannath Mandir or prikrama of Sri Kshetra in totality. And it says there that sleeping someone's just lying down sleeping, which everyone does, he gets the same, it's the same benefit as if someone went out and did dandavats before the Lord. So this is the amazing power that, what to speak if your feet take you to the holy dham and you walk to the holy dham. Because when the Puranas were written, there weren't any trains and planes. People, I suppose there were horses, but mostly the majority of people traveled by foot. It's hard to imagine in our modern world we have jet planes and rocket ships. But only a few hundred years ago, the only people that had horses were people with money. These horses are costly, even then. So there were, of course, horse carts here and there, but mostly people walk. So those 2 feet to take one on prikrama, they can walk you right out of the material world. This is from Hari Bhakti Surodaya. Pravishan alayam vishnor darshayartam subhaktiman nabuya pravishen matu kukshi karagraham sudhi. This is about going to the temple. The intelligent person who enters the temple of Vishnu with devotion to see the Lord does not again enter the prison of a mother's womb. So that's interesting. It's talking about pravesh. Pravishan alayam vishnor darshayartam subhaktiman. Su, like we say, shaktiman. Man means possessing. Bhagavan, man. One who has very good devotion, darshan artam, with the desirable object, or his objective is to take darshan of the Lord, to be seen by the Lord, and to see the Lord. And he does mandir pravesh. You've heard griha pravesh. Pravesh means to enter into, like we say, avesh, shakti avesh. Avesh means to come into, to receive, or to enter into, or to be entered into. Then he does not enter another womb, the prison house of another woman's womb. So that's interesting. You can, by going in the four walls of the mandir, you won't have to go in the four walls of a mother's womb. Interesting analogy. So that the womb of the temple will prevent us from taking rebirth. One point of etiquette for those that are hearing these tapes, that not only when one leaves his own house, but especially when one enters a temple, whenever you enter a temple of the Lord, it is told that you are supposed to enter with your right foot first. In America, they have an expression, put your right foot forward. right and left, right, right. So when you enter the mandir, we should, in other words, we should be a little conscious and enter with our right foot. Because, of course, right side is auspicious, and that's the niyam. What's all behind it, I can't say. But I suppose if we trace things out, any foot leelas, charan leela, we'll probably find that the right foot is in action here. For example, when Vamanadev is stretching out and covering the world and the universe, and then poking his toe through the coverings of the universe to be washed by the Kamandalu of Brahma, we would assume that was his right foot. If you're going to approach someone who's exalted, the temple's an exalted place, and Vamanadeva was approaching the Lord, he was pointing his foot towards the Lord, so he pointed his right foot, and the temple, we point our right foot. So when Krishna approaches an exalted personality, he puts his right foot forward. Because when Krishna is standing in Tribhanga Lalitam next to Radharani, Radharani is the controller of Krishna, so she is the most exalted person in his life and the most respectable living entity and most respectable associate of Krishna. So Krishna puts his right foot forward towards Radharani and keeps his left foot flat on the ground. That's the standard Tribhanga pose. So even Krishna is showing us the correct way is put your right foot forward. So we should be conscious when we do everything. That the bottom line, of course, of all these things, which we emphasize repeatedly, is that the whole idea is that these actions, these thoughts, these actions, these movements, mudras or whatever, they are being prescribed because they give happiness to Krishna. They don't disturb the natural order of Krishna's happiness and peace. So we're moving to please Krishna. We're speaking to please Krishna. We're thinking to please Krishna. We're willing and desiring to please Krishna. And we're hoping to please Krishna. And we're praying that he will be pleased with all of these offerings and attempts to please him. That is our prayer. So it's told that when one enters the temple, he should enter with his right foot first. So someone often says, like children always say, "Why, Daddy, why? Why is the sky blue? Why does the sun look so small? I read in science book it's such a big planet, but it looks like so small." Looks very small. He asks why. The father gives some explanation, scientific. Then the son is somewhat appeased. His curiosity is subdued temporarily. So we also ask so many why questions. So we ask why your right foot forward? Why not your head coming on your head? But somehow this is what the scriptures tell that we should go. Because Krishna likes it. That's the bottom line. If anyone ever asks, why do you do anything? That's called Krishna Anukulya. It's favorable. Krishna likes it. Now why are you offering your husband puris with powdered sugar on it? Because he likes it. That's simple. So our actions are based on the pleasure principle. The materialist, all of his actions are based on the pleasure principle. The principle is, give me pleasure. So bhakti is also, all of our actions are based on the pleasure principle. The principle of giving pleasure to Krishna. Haritoshanam. So this century is 12135 is about Parikrama. Parikrama yatata treva Vishnum pradakshini kurvan yasta chat vartate puna tade va vartanam chasya punar na vartate bhave. This is again from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, talking about circumambulating. If a person circumambulates Vishnu and returns to the same spot, that guarantees that he does not return to another birth. So that of course means a deity, unless you're having darshan. Jiva Goswami makes that point in the next purport. Sometimes people say, oftentimes they say, what are you doing? Say, I'm doing Mandir Parikrama. I say, how many times are you going around? Oh, you have to go around 3 times. And they go around 3 times. But actually, you're supposed to go minimum 4 times. And here's the verse to prove it. From Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's also in Bhakti Sandarbha. Chaturvaram Pramibhistu Jagat Sarvam Characharam Krantam Bhavati Vipragriya Tattirta Gamanadikam Skanda Puran Chaturmas Mahatyam. Those who circumambulate the Lord 4 times surpass the world of moving and non-moving creatures. This surpasses going to Tirthas. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, wave number 1. I believe it's Purva Lahiri, the Eastern Division, chapter 2, verse 136. So simply by going around the Lord 4 times, I mean the Lord means the deity in the temple, or the temple, one accomplishes the results of going to all places of pilgrimage. There's a nice story in this connection, maybe you've heard, that once Lord Shiva had arranged a contest for his 2 children, Ganesh and Kartikeya. And he said, I want to see who can fly around the universe, who can go circumambulate the universe the fastest. So it was a contest arranged by Shiva. So Kartikeya was Ganesh and Kartikeya are the 2 sons of Lord Shiva. So he said, whoever can go around the universe first, then he'll get a prize. The story's like this. So Ganesh was thinking, I'm really severely handicapped because I don't fly, I walk. And the universe is quite a big place. My brother Skanda has a Mayur Viman, Mor Viman, a peacock carrier, so he can fly like airlines. At any rate, Ganesh is a very clever fellow. They say elephants are very intelligent. Of course, Kartikeya was a human being, but he was also a very intelligent commander-in-chief of the army, demigods. He led them to many victories over the demons. So they accepted the challenge, and off shot Kartikeya took off on his peacock carrier at a rapid rate. And then Ganesh just sat down for a moment, thinking. Then he said, all right. So then he stood up and he circumambulated Parvati and Shiva. He went around 1 time or 4, I don't know. But he went around and he sat down. And then Lord Shiva said, what are you doing? You're supposed to go around the universe, and Kartikeya is way ahead of you. He said, my dear father, as far as I understand, that you and my mother, Parvati, you are the beginning and end of the whole universe. You're the whole universe is your energy, and you're arranging and maintain everything. So I feel that if I simply circumambulate you, I've already got around the universe. So then Kartikeya, after some few minutes, it took him a few minutes to go around the universe. And he's very fast. These are special peacocks, eh? Not like the slowpoke peacocks we have. So he came back and he was surprised. Ganesha was just sitting there peacefully eating laddus and enjoying himself. Big smile on his face, smile of victory, smile of satisfaction. And then he was a little bemused and puzzled by his brother's expression. And he said, "Father, I've come, but it appears that my younger brother, he hasn't even entered the race. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's not sweating. He's not perspiring. He seems quite relaxed. Why is he so happy? He seems like he lost the race." He said, "No, actually, he won." He told him the story. So this is the situation about circumambulation, how much power it has. If you circumambulate the right person at the right time, you get the greatest benefit. So in the Vedic scriptures, it talks a lot about circumambulating cows and the holy dham, and brahmanas and tulsi and the mandir. So it's often said, like Ambarish Maharaj, that he engaged all of his bodily limbs in the service of the Lord. And he engaged his legs in going on parikrama and performing circumambulation. So I remember once someone was saying to one acharya, he said, "We heard in a class of yours that whenever a devotee walks anywhere, he should always be either walking to the mandir, he should be walking to the temple, as we heard this one verse, our two feet should be carrying us to the mandir, or they should be carrying us on parikrama, or carrying us for visiting a sadhu or saintly person, sadhu sangha. But I'm with you here in Hawaii, and you are walking up and down the beach. So it doesn't appear that you're going on parikrama of Govardhan Hill. You're just walking you're chanting japa and walking up and down the beach in Hawaii. And he said, "Yes, that's what you see. But I see what I'm thinking, what I'm meditating on as I'm walking. I'm meditating on that Kusum Sarovare Radhe Radhe Kusum Sarovare Me Radhe Radhe Manasi Ganga Me Radhe Radhe Dhanna Gatti Me Radhe Radhe Dhani Varta Me Radhe Radhe Govinda Kunda Me Radhe Radhe Apsara Kunda Me Radhe Radhe." And I'm just meditating on Govardhan Parikrama, and I'm there, and you're here, and I'm there, and you see me, and I see that, I see them. You see me in Hawaii, and I see the divine couple, Yugal Kishore and Govinda Kund. So what you see is maybe not what is real. So then, of course, there was no further questions asked. That the guru or acharya was certainly upholding his own instructions by every step he was taking was being taken for the pleasure and service of the Lord, in remembrance of the Lord, and with the idea that he was actually on parikrama. Quite an interesting point. In other words, always remember Krishna, never forget him. And for the Raganuga Sadaka, his mind should be always remembering Krishna and Vrindavan. Because remembering Krishna, never forget him, that's a principle for everyone, the beginner, neophyte, or madhyam or uttam. The Vaidhi Sadaka will also try to remember Krishna, never forget him. And he will remember him by thinking of the Virata Rupa, or thinking of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Rasuhamapsukantiya, Prabhasmi Shashi Suriyo. Ah, yes, this water is so tasting, so nice. The taste of this water is Krishna. And this light, this beautiful, soothing light of the moon, this is Shashi Surya, Prabha Shashi Surya, the Prabha Shashi Prabha, the effulgent light of the moon. Shashi means the moon, and Surya means the sun. This light, this tej, this brilliance of this moon is Krishna. So he sees and tries to remember Krishna in this way. But the Raganuga Sadhana, his mind is actually in Vrindavan, wherever he is, and thinking of Krishna's pastimes and seeing everything in the environment in relation not to Virata Rupa or not to maybe Bhagavad Gita. He'll go beyond and connect everything to the Nitya Leela of Radha and Krishna, even when he's in Australia or New Zealand. And so there's a little bit different format or presentation of his always remembering Krishna, never forgetting him. Because the Raganuga Sadaka, one of his injunctions is that he is supposed to live in Vrindavan. To perform Rag Bhakti, one is supposed to live in Vrindavan. If you cannot live there physically, which means live in a Leela Stali and meditate on the pastimes of that Leela Stali and other Leela Stalis, then one should live there mentally. So for the majority of people, if the whole world comes to Vrindavan, it might get a little crowded. The majority of Vaishnavas are still bound by this injunction. It's not, oh, that's not for me. I am a Bombayite. I'm a Delhiite. That's not for me. So that's for every progressive advancing devotee who wants to go back home, back to Godhead. We must submerge our mind in the place of our destiny, our desired place. So we desire to live eternally in Vrindavan, serving the lotus feet of Radha Govinda Yugo. So that desire we must begin to, it's not just something, a desire you write on a piece of paper, it's something that you cultivate and reflect upon.